And once again, welcome back to the Essential Moots and Guide, the podcast, as brought to you by the people at the Moot Court Society from the Faculty of Law at Universitas Padjadjaran. I am your host, Travis Wallio, the Chief Coordinator of International Moot Courts at our organization. And this week, we are continuing our short series of episodes to give you practical advice as to how you can improve yourself as a mootie. In this episode, we will be discussing public speaking and how it is an important component not only in moot court, but also in most legal careers. And to help me do that, I have two esteemed guests as usual. And on today's episode, I am already with my first guest here. Hello, Theo. How are you doing?
Hi, Travis. Good.
I'm glad to hear it. Where are you in quarantine, Theo? Are you in Bandung or are you, where are you staying right now?
I'm currently in Jakarta.
Jakarta?
Yep.
So back home with the family, right? Quarantining with the family?
Yep, that's right.
So, dear listeners, Theo is from the International Law Society of UNPAR, the Moot Court organization at Universitas Parahyangan, one of our closer neighbors in the West Java, Bandung area. Theo, do you want to introduce yourself, please?
So, hi everyone. My name is Theo Prawira Dirja. I'm from UNPAR. I'm from batch 2017, currently in my third year of university. I've been involved in Moot from the very beginning. I've did Asia Cup in my first year. I did IHL, or International Humanitarian Law Moot Court Competition, in my second. And currently in my third year, I did the Philips Chess of 2020.
And not only that, Theo is especially qualified to be speaking with us today because at the National 2020 Jessup Rounds, Theo won Best Oralist, is that correct?
That is true, Travis.
That is true. It's quite great to see someone who's like first-time Jessup and then Best Oralist. It's really amazing. So I'm sure that you have a lot to share with us today and a lot to teach us, actually.
Sure.
So as a beginning question, Theo, do you think public speaking is important?
Very important. I think public speaking helps in various ways. So especially in for law students, I think it's very important.
And why do you say that there? Why is it specifically important for law students to be able to have good public speaking? Does it give a certain advantage? And if so, what kind of advantage would you say?
Well, of course, as law students, you get involved in a lot of conversation outside or inside of class. You get involved in the context of explaining things, making deals, persuading people as in general. So public speaking actually helps a lot because in public speaking, you think more methodically, which actually helps to explain something at the very basic for people to understand. And that is why I think that public speaking is very good for a law student.
I also understand, Theo, that you've done public speaking not only in moot court, you've been here, you've been there, and I'm sure all of this contributed to your achievements. But would you perhaps compare a little bit public speaking inside and outside of moot court? Would you say that it's a little bit different in terms of when you're an oralist in a moot court and pleading?
Yes, that's correct. It is different. So I've done a few moot courts, and in mootings, there's a lot of grounds to cover. There's the issue of like persuading the judge, and then entertaining the judge. Then there's also you got to face to make it very convincing for the judge to follow your argument and therefore winning your side. But in basic public speaking, for example, in speech, what you do is just you explain information or you present something to the audience, and then the audience will just listen to you without raising questions in the middle during your presentation, which is different from moot court. Like moot court in general, as we know, is that when you're pleading, the judges can ask you questions like any time of the way of pleading, because you know that is something you need to address itself.
So the persuasiveness and I guess the questions and answers in moot court is a big determining factor. But actually, I do have an interesting question to add on that. You've done three different moots. You've done Asia Cup, IHL, and then this year Jessup. Would you say that there's a little bit of variation in terms of the way people plead in between these moot courts?
So I think there are a few differences between Asia Cup, IHL, and Jessup. Well, for Asia Cup itself, I can't really explain that much because I was basically in my first year and I was just being introduced to moot courts, so we don't get much exposure, especially there's no national rounds. But for IHL and Philips Jessup, there's a lot of difference. In IHL competition is that in the cases, usually people die, which, well, it is about international crime. So at right. one of the sites where you're a prosecutor, you want it to be more stronger, especially you're dropping the hammer on the respondent or the defendant at that time, while you're in the position of defendant, you'll be looking for sympathy from the judge. You're looking like, well, this action is justified because of so and so and so. But in Philips Jessup, it actually depends on the case. But as for this case, where regarding the autonomous weapon, is that I see people tend to moot in a more calm way, just to explain like, hey, we built this wall because of this. If we don't build this wall, then people will die, or economy will be destroyed, etc., etc. It actually depends on the case, but yeah, there is a few differences.
So overall, you would say in the IHL that there's a more perhaps emotional or dramatic kind of theatric in the pleading. Is that a correct summary of your answer? While in Jessup, there is a little bit of more composed element?
Yeah, I would say like that.
Okay, cool. We haven't had exactly an IHL Jessup former on the podcast yet, so that's a very interesting insight. My next question is, so how do you think pleading has impacted your general speaking skills? Has learning to plead helped you in perhaps other ways of public speaking, perhaps doing interviews like this, or doing interviews with perhaps potential employers, or perhaps even just generally speaking with other people? Do you think pleading has in any way positively impacted you?
Yes, certainly. I mean, there's a difference that I, even myself, feel before and after doing meetings in terms of general speaking. After you get introduced to courts, to public speaking as in pleading, you're already embedded with the mindset of talking in a methodical way, in a step-by-step way. So when you actually talk to people, it's more like more systematical, more you can basically explain something very simple without getting lost in your thoughts. And because of that, you don't just run away from the topic or something. You can basically focus because you've already set out what you're going to talk about in the very beginning.
That methodical process of speaking, does it translate in your other public speaking skills? Could you perhaps give like an example maybe of how you use that methodical system outside of pleading?
Well, for a public speaking context, I can't explain because I haven't done any public speaking apart from pleading. Recently, but yeah, I mean, for a general, like you do presentation in class, I mean, it actually helps a lot. You think more like you've already set out the roadmap of what you're going to say, which makes it actually easier for people to understand about what is this guy actually talking about. You already know what to handle those steps.
Well, I have a little bit of a curveball of a question for you next, Theo. Feel free to answer this in any way that you'd like, but do you feel like you expected to win Best Oralist this year in Jessup, which is perhaps one of the most prestigious and definitely the oldest public international moot, even in Indonesia? Were you expecting to achieve such an award?
Well, if I were expecting, then I would say no, but if I was trying for it, I would say yes, I did. I did aim for Best Oralist, but I didn't expect I was going to get it. I only practiced to be like, okay, I'm just gonna try my best at this competition, because since this is my first Jessup, I don't really know what the playing ground is gonna be like. But yeah, I mean, eventually I did get the Best Oralist.
Could I compare maybe a little bit then? Your IHL moot and your Jessup, was there anything that you did a little bit different in terms of preparation that perhaps made your Jessup results better than your IHL? Or do you think maybe that it was just kind of experience that helped you build well?
Well, I did change my oral pleading style a bit. Like I've said before, I shifted to be more composed, more calm in delivering arguments. But along the side of that, there's a lot of way I've changed, but that, then again, it's thanks to the coaches and that, especially the previous, the current team right now is from the previous Jessup, so they actually know what I'm going to face, which they did help shift my leading style from IHL to Jessup.
I've actually seen Theo plead, and it's really, really great. And because I remember that this year at Jessup, we were semifinals, right? Unpad versus Unpar. I like to say that it was close. It was definitely close. Unpar won just by a little bit, but it stands to prove that your oral pleadings and your presentation still beat us by a mile, because first and second best oralists were on your team, right?
Yeah, thank you.
It's, you guys really need to take this guy's advice, is what I'm trying to say, I think. So, obviously, you don't jump into moot court and suddenly become the best oralist. It takes time, it takes practice, it takes experience. Do you ever look back and remember that sometimes you were having difficulties, perhaps? Could you maybe share some of the obstacles that you felt, that you experienced when you were just starting out, maybe, or perhaps even as recent as this year?
Okay, so I did face some obstacles. So my first moot for actually pleading, I remember it clearly. It was 3rd November 2018. That was my first moot in IHL. At that time, I was about to enter the court group, and I was having a massive stage fright, because at that time, the moot court competition was hosted by Unpar in IHL. The IHL moot, I mean.
Right, and 2019, right?
18.
18, right. Yeah. Right. 19 was in Jogja, right.
So at that time, I was about to enter the courtroom, and I wasn't looking forward at all entering it, because I know that every mistake is going to be written on my face if I did anything wrong. But yeah, thankfully, well, I managed to pull it off. Yeah, I mean, that worked well. Then there's several issues that I face, like during practice itself, I can't keep up my performance from practice to practice. It tends to be up and down very much. Then there's the issue of, you know, you can't entertain the judge. Sometimes you just deliver it for the sake of delivering. Don't really make it look boring. That's one of the issues I always encounter.
Right. I actually want to ask you how you overcame these obstacles, but before we get to that point, before we started recording, you also mentioned that you teach and you coach, right?
Well, not officially coach. I just help sit in practice.
Either way, I'm sure that you have your fair share of perhaps meeting some beginners or even just your friends.
Oh, that's true.
Perhaps, what would you say are perhaps some beginner mistakes that you've seen while you're doing these, helping the teams? Do you think that there are some mistakes that beginners are more prone to doing when they are pleading?
Of course. Even back when I was first doing it, I did this mistake. The most basic mistake that a beginner can do is, like, you're just reading the memorial. You don't actually plead. You're only reading what you wrote in the memos, then bring it to the actual pleading, and then you read from it, which actually, there's, you know, you can see a difference between
reading and a conversation, right?
Yeah, between reading and making conversation. You look like you're memorizing something. You're like just from a memorial. Yeah, that's one of the mistakes I did, and the beginner mistakes I see these days when I'm coaching or helping the juniors.
I agree a lot. I've actually been training a lot of beginners lately, and I think that is a big deal, especially with newbies. And I think that brings us to the question I wanted to ask earlier. How do you think people can overcome these beginner obstacles or beginner mistakes, as well as the kind of obstacles that you used to face later on, as you mentioned, your stage fright and everything like that? Could you please share some tips, maybe, some advice as to how to overcome that?
So I'll start by for the memorial problem first. With regards to that, the simplest way you can imagine that you're trying to explain pleading to a fifth grader. So you don't want to use memorial wordings, which is sometimes complicated, more scientific.
Technical.
It's more like hard to understand these words. While on the other hand, if you can actually imagine, like, succeed in explaining your case to a fifth grader, I mean, your explanation is simple and clear enough, which actually makes it, well, it's more like a conversation. And therefore, you can actually start from there as the beginning to make your oral script. So, yeah, that's my tip for, or at least my solution to overcome the problem where you just read from memos.
As a best oralist, I have another question for you. Which part of the moot do you enjoy more? Do you prefer arguing in text, or do you prefer arguing in like verbally or orally? Do you have a preference for which process of the moot you enjoy more?
Yes, I like to argue verbally because I'm not a very much of a drafter myself. I help the team draft, but then again, like, I always prefer speaking because, you know, you can just speak your minds out as long as it makes sense, it has legal basis, etc. But during memorial, you gotta really understand and really be critical and sharp on what you're about to write, because there's no, you can't just unsend the memorial and just like correct some parts of it.
That's great to hear, and I agree very much. It seems like we are about to run out of time, Theo. But before we come to the end of this interview, we always let our guests give a last piece of advice. Anything you want to say to the listeners, to somebody who might be considering moot court or just starting moot court, do you have anything you want to say to the listeners?
Yes. When you first try and join moot court, you'll experience some difficulty. You'll see that moot court is very hard and requires dedication and sheer will. But trust me, once you get all two of those, you know, it'll be worth your time. It'll open you to many various states of career, of opportunities in life.
That is fantastic. That is great advice. And please, dear listeners, listen to Theo, because Theo is more than qualified to be telling you all these things. We just want to say thank you so much, Theo, for being on the show. Thank you for taking the time out of the busy home life of a work-from-home college student. We're going to cut to a break now, listeners. And we're going to be speaking with our second guest, the wonderful special guest from Universitas Gajah Mada. So stick around for that. But again, thank you, Theo, and see you later.
Thank you, brothers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we are back with the Essential Mooting Guide, the podcast, with this week's episode all about public speaking. And we are now with our second guest of the episode. We are with the wonderful Rabita Madina. How are you, Bita?
Hello. It's very nice to have me here and to have you here.
Are you in Bandung? I think you're back home with your family. You're not at Jogja right now, right?
I am back home with my family. I'm in Bandung, where you go to school at. But either way, I'm still excited, even out of the situation. So I hope everyone is still maintaining their activities well.
Either way, I'm glad to have you here. Thank you for being on the show, first of all.
Thank you.
Before we get into the whole introduction of your very, very qualified CV and all your achievements, I know Rabita a little bit more well than most of our guests. We met, do you remember when we met, Rabita?
Yes, sir.
Or does it escape you at the moment? We met at the ALSA debate competition in our first year.
Indeed.
And I remember, this is just a funny anecdote, I knew your sister before I knew you. Your older sister goes to medical school where I go to university. And I remember, I don't know, to this day, I don't know if you heard me when I said this. But I remember we were in the kind of like auditorium. And I saw you walking up the aisle as one of the committee members. And then I leaned over to my partner and I said,
"I legit,
oh snap, that girl looks exactly like Farhana." And then you kind of looked at me funny, and then I kind of froze. And then later on, we met again, and then we introduced ourselves formally, and then you said, "You go to Unpad, right? You know my sister, Farhana."
I know.
And then the light bulb clicked, and then, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I remember like asking, do you know my sister? Because she goes to school here. And you were like, oh my God, I have been saying to people that you look exactly like her.
Exactly like. Exactly. Well, funny anecdotes aside, that was back before we were doing mooting. Here we are.
That was freshman year. And now here we are still alive, senior year. So thank God for that.
And here you are. Now the vice president of the community of the International Moot Court of UGM. You are also recently crowned the most outstanding student of Universitas Gajah Mada, or as we say in Indonesian, MAPRES.
What a title.
As well as last year was the year before that you won best defendant at the International Criminal Court Moot Court competition.
It was 2019. It was a year ago. It feels like yesterday. Year.
Everything feels like yesterday nowadays.
No, right?
But, you know, we're not here to talk about quarantine. We're here to talk about public speaking and your vast experience of it. But I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. Would you like to introduce yourself to the audience?
Sure thing. So, hi, everyone. I'm really glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Travis. My name is Rabita Medina, or Bita, and I'm from the Faculty of Law of UGM, currently in my sixth semester, and I'm here to talk about public speaking. So I really hope you guys enjoy.
Well, let's just jump right into it. What do you say?
Sure thing. Let's do this.
So the first question is quite straightforward. Do you think public speaking is important?
Definitely. Like, to answer that directly, I think it's definitely an important ability. And for a long time, I've always considered the ability to do public speaking as a very important asset that a person can have, especially if you plan to go to law school or to become a jurist. Because, you know, I feel like eventually our main job is to advocate. And I think the strongest and the most influential form of advocation comes in form of spoken words. But just to make things clear, I have to say that it's a total misconception if you think that when a person does not have a great public speaking skill, it means that person doesn't have a chance in law school. I completely agree with this. A lot of people think that that myth is true, but I feel like in law school, at the very least, you need to have a decent communication skill. But, you know, like a really good public speaking skill is not a must, even though it is an advantage. I've seen tons of law students.
It's definitely something that can be learned, right? Something that we learned and taught and honed.
Definitely.
That's why we're here today.
Definitely something that can be learned and can be trained, and you can start from zero and be 100 in no time.
So obviously, this is a moot court podcast, and we are here to talk about public speaking in moot court, especially in terms of oral presentations and pleading. I also understand that you've done speech competitions before, and obviously there has to be some degree of public speaking as the vice president of your organization. Do you think that there might be a difference, a contrast between public speaking in general and perhaps pleading in a moot court? And if so, could you maybe elaborate on the differences between them?
Thank you so much for coming up with this question, because I feel like more people should know about this. Like, not only law students, but, you know, people who do public speaking in general. I feel like in moot court, you know, public speaking, which is called pleading, it requires way more than a decent public speaking skill. You know, in moot court, it's a combination of speaking and knowledge and research and attitude. But first things first, in moot court, like, pleading can only be done after a long series of research that could give you a strong and sufficient legal basis. And that's what makes it very different from, like, other forms of public speaking, like the speeches that I've done. In moot court, everything that comes out from your mouth, it has to be legally accurate. It cannot be just a mere words in which, you know, in speech, I could just be, like, making a speech, just mere words, what I think of a certain thing. But in moot court, it's totally not like that. Because pleading
is to be more methodical, would you say? That's the words that they use. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. Because in moot court, pleading is a very formal kind of public speaking. So it requires a lot of, you know, manners and mentality and knowledge, especially in the question and answer part. It takes a lot of mentality to be able to go through that. So I feel like it's definitely more complex than regular public speaking that I do, but in every aspect, more interesting.
Before we jump into more about the moot court side of public speaking and pleading, would you say that learning how to plead has helped you in any way outside of moot court, in interviews such as this perhaps, or perhaps with potential employers, let's say, or maybe in discussions with your peers, or perhaps even in general? Do you feel that you've learned anything from public speaking in moot court, in pleading specifically, that can be applied elsewhere, is what I'm trying to say, I guess.
Yeah, totally. I feel like when you're able to plead, when somebody mastered pleading, they can conquer public speaking in general, because pleading is a very interactive means of public speaking. It's an excellent training, not only for speaking, but also to prepare your mentality and ability to respond to a spontaneous question. So after you plead, you would know in which occasion you should speak formally, in which occasion you should speak flexibly. So I feel like it definitely gives you more comfort on interviews and discussions and other forms of public speaking.
As I mentioned before, last year, Best Defendant, ICC, and then now you climb the ranks of your organization to become vice president. Obviously, you didn't start out like that. Back in our freshman year, we were all learning and we all started from zero, to speak. What do you think were some obstacles that you remember experiencing difficulty with? Could you perhaps share some of your experiences of times you had trouble coping with how to plead and how to speak so publicly in front of judges and et cetera, et cetera?
Oh, definitely. So I am very amazed and I have a lot of respect for people who tried mooting during their freshman year, like the moment they enter law school, for those people who applied and who managed to go through moot courts on their first year. I have huge respect because I would never have the bravery to jump into moot court right away.
Thank you, Ravita.
I feel like this is because I have seen so many freshmen who thinks that they don't have the ability to moot simply because the moment they enter law school, they think moot court is something very impossible. I didn't try moot court during my first year. I was trying to familiarize myself on moot court. But I think I have that mentality too. Like I had that mentality the moment when I entered law school. I think, you know what? I think this is just a very huge mountain that I can never climb. So what I did was that I started off my mooting career as a manager. I was the Jessup manager for OGM for 2018 Jessup. And actually the main reason why I wanted to become a manager was because I want to observe like what does it take to be a mooter? Like what is pleading like? What is researching like? And throughout that time period where I did my job as a manager, I learned a lot. And I think this could also be done even if you're not a manager, say that you decided to like just observe how mooters work during your freshman year. And then when you enter second year, like you probably have the bravery and the confidence to do moot court, which is what I did. So I applied as a team member during my second year. I was also like the Jessup observer at that time. So I attended a lot of practices, even though I was just observing my other teammates, it was a lot of thing to learn. So I was grateful for sparing my first year to actually give myself a warm up. And I really encourage a lot of first year students to do the same thing instead of just thinking that it's an impossible thing to do.
So if I can kind of summarize that, if you feel unsure, then you should take the opportunities to kind of familiarize yourself and observe as much as you can so you can be more prepared to kind of jump into that as soon as you can, perhaps no later than your second year. Is that a good summary of what you said?
Yeah, definitely. It's amazing to try during your first year, but please don't jump into conclusion that it's an impossible thing to do. Some people moot first year, I moot second year, some even moot third or fourth year of law school, and they did just fine. So I don't think there is actually like a timeline for when you should moot and when you should not. It's just a matter of your mentality to want to try.
So just a quick tangent before we move on about public speaking. You mentioned something about being a manager, and that is a term that I think both CIMC and MCS both kind of share? And I don't think we've actually explained that on the podcast yet. So would you maybe please share what a manager is and what it entails, what kind of obligations you might have had as the Jessup Observer? Oh, I'm sorry, manager.
Yep, manager. So I do acknowledge that in some university, they call it officials. I think officials, manager, that's like the general term for it. It's basically a position where you handle every administration part of the moot court. So not only administration part, but you're in charge of sponsorship and also all sorts of publications related to your federate, your moot court federate. But it's more than having the opportunity to actually manage a team. You are also given an opportunity to be a part of the team. You can go to their practices. So like in a way, I think it's a great opportunity to actually learn about moot court without giving the effort to like draft a memorial or learn how to plead. I think it's just the perfect opportunity to observe, you know. And I did not regret being a manager. It was a very fun job.
I have to clarify one more term there. Federate, guys.
I'm so sorry.
Federate is a word they use at UGM to describe your teams, right? So yeah. Basically, Jessup is a federate.
Yeah.
Imlam is a federate.
Yep.
Fizz is a federate.
Federate, yeah.
I always love that word, though. Like kudos to UGM. It's a cool word. I wish we
would have adopted it. What do you guys call it?
We just call them teams.
Okay, I do not know who came up with this, but we've been calling it federate.
It's a cool word.
Ever since.
It's a cool
word. So yeah, federate is a team. Like Jessup, ICC, Imlam, we call them federate. It kind of sounds like it's somewhere out of an American history book, but hey, I guess it's cool.
It kind of gives like Star Wars vibes.
I know.
To each their own, I guess.
I know, right?
But to kind of bring us back on topic, like you mentioned, you had the obstacles and you weren't immediately ready to jump into it. But what kind of obstacles specifically in terms of public speaking do you think you felt you had? Did you have any difficulties in perhaps specific parts of pleading? Maybe you couldn't answer the questions or you were just always stuttering and nervous. What kind of obstacles did you experience in terms of actually pleading?
The most difficult part in pleading and the one that I struggled the most was definitely the question and answer part. It took me a lot of time and it took my coaches a lot of effort for me to reach the mentality where I was calm enough to be in that situation. Because, you know, when you're completely under pressure and then a judge suddenly interrupted you and asked you a question, especially if, you know, at hand, I did not have an answer to that question, I tend to have a mental breakdown, as in either I freaked out or I just stood there doing nothing. Like I was just purely staring at the wall blank. Like that was my main obstacle. I think my way of handling it was just to remember that the more time I spent on having my mental breakdown, the less time I spent on actually showing the judges what I have in the rest of my pleading. You know, we as oralists, we always need to find a way to get over that situation. So that was the hardest part. The obstacle was probably reaching the mentality where I was calm enough to face questions.
I think you have some tips for us prepared, but again, before we jump to that, I have one more question. You know, as the vice president or even just as a mentor in general, do you see any specific beginner mistakes that people have? Theo mentioned that a big mistake that he sees in beginners is that they're always reading, and you can very much tell that they're not having a conversation, but rather they're memorizing or reciting a text that they've already prepared. Do you have any other beginner mistakes that you think you often observe with newbies and people just joining? And perhaps could you give some remedy suggestions as to whatever this mistake is that you notice?
Probably like the mistake as like a freshman or like as a we call it virgin mooter. In my organization, we call it virgin mooter. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you're a virgin mooter, the biggest mistake that you can have is to actually compare yourself with a veteran mooter. Because we completely understand if it's your first time mooting, and we will never in any way expect you to be as professional and as you know, as equipped like what a veteran mooters would be. What we demand for you to do is just to give your absolute best, and we will never compare your best to other people's best. You just need to be confident and never feel like you're not confident just because you see a veteran moot doing better than you. So I feel like that'll ease the mentality of virgin mooters a lot when they know that it's their first time and all they got to do is just to do their best. But it's definitely not a reason to be lazy or laid back. But, you know, sometimes I feel like virgin mooters, they lose confidence thinking that, I have a teammate.
Comparing themselves to the greats, right?
Yeah, I have a team.
The best oralists and the best defendants.
Well, that is exactly what I'm trying to say. Stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like I when I was in international criminal court, I was a virgin mooter, and more than 50% of my teammates were ex-mooters. So I said to myself, if I were to join this moot court, comparing myself with these ex-mooters for 8 months, I would never get the confidence. So I am just going to do my best as a virgin mooter. And that, you know, that was the mentality that I kept.
Right, right. See, that's great. I wasn't expecting that kind of answer, but I'm glad you gave it. So what kind of other tips and advice would you like to give to the newbie, the virgin mooties, in terms of public speaking and their pleading?
Probably my best advice is that pleading is, I take pleading as a very, very fun method of public speaking. For a lot of people, it might be very nerve-wracking and it might be very scary, but if you can keep the mindset that it's actually a fun way to advocate things up, I think it'll really add the good vibe to your pleading. Why? Because you are given once in a lifetime chance to actually prove yourself worthy as a future lawyer in front of a bunch of professionals. In moot courts, when you plead, you're going to be pleading before real lawyers from different backgrounds, but they are experts in law, they are great jurists, and I feel like it's just a great opportunity to show what kind of law student you are and your personality through your pleading style. So I guess the most important tips that I could give to like virgin mooters and people who are trying out as an oralist is that this doesn't have to be a scary thing. You can make it very unique and very creative. And I believe judges would really, really enjoy a creative and unique pleading instead of like pleadings that might be too rigid.
Right, right. Great. That's really great advice. And again, I don't have to reiterate how qualified you are to be giving this advice. And so we are running out of time, and unfortunately, our meeting is going to have to be cut short. But we always give our guests the final opportunity to address the audience and give any piece of advice, especially for the virgin mooties or people considering moot court. Do you have any advice, general or specific, or anything you want to say to the audience? You have the floor now.
One last thing is probably if you have an opportunity to moot, please, please, please do it. It is the best thing that could ever happen to your law school career. I feel like it's like an Oscar for law school students if you actually join a moot, you know, because it's very challenging and it really develops your character. So just don't be afraid of the opportunity to be a part of a moot court team. And once you're in the process, just indulge and develop. And I think you'll never regret doing it.
It's great. And we'd love to hear it. And you guys, if you want to learn more about how moot court can be a great impact to your legal career, both academic and after college and law school, we have a bunch of episodes that you guys can look back on and listen to that. Sorry for the self-plug-in at the end of your little ending speech, Rabita, but you know, you gotta do what you gotta do, right?
You gotta do what you gotta do.
So, either way, thank you so much for taking the time and for being on the show.
Thank you. I really enjoy this.
We know that you are very busy being prestigious and achieving everything. So for the listeners, we're gonna cut to the ending now, but once again, just thank you, thank you, thank you for being on the show and sharing your great advice and experience with all of our listeners. And hopefully we'll talk soon, Rabita.
Yeah, hopefully. And one last thing, if I may, I know that you're organizing this podcast, but I would love for you to actually be a guest and have your own episode. You should definitely do that in your future. So like, we would like an episode from Travis. That should be a thing.
We'll consider it. So, bye, Rabita, and we'll talk when we talk. Yeah, hopefully we can see each other after this whole quarantine's over and catch up.
Hopefully, stay safe.
Bye, bye.
Bye. Thank you.
And thus concludes our episode today, as well as our discussion with Theo and Rabita about public speaking. We hope that somewhere in between all the questions and answers, you could learn something about oral presentation in international moot court, as well as how to improve yourself in terms of speaking publicly. Of course, we can't cover everything that there is to pleading, so be sure to check in with your team coach and advisors on more specific points to help you improve uniquely in the best way that you can. Stay sharp for next week, as we'll be having a mini episode on the topic of international law, and more specifically, on the interpretation of treaties and why it's so important in the regime of international law. Make sure you follow the podcast on Spotify or wherever it is you're listening to this so that you can know when that episode is coming out. See you guys next week, and may it please the court.